This is Talent in the Age of AI, the podcast helping leaders navigate what AI means for their people, their culture, and their future. We talk with the thinkers and practitioners shaping how we work, learn, and lead, and what it takes to keep talent growing in a world that's constantly changing. We create, curate, and connect the insights and the community that helps leaders build AI confidence in themselves and in their teams. Let's dive in.
Hi, I'm Jason Keese, and this is Three Big Questions. Today, I'm joined by someone who has spent decades helping leaders unlock their best work. Bill Gallagher is a longtime entrepreneur and leadership coach who has worked with leadership teams across 13 countries, helping them make smarter decisions with less stress and more confidence. He's also the host of the Scaling Up Business podcast with more than 650 episodes on leadership and performance. Bill, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on. It's awesome. I think I'm 14 countries now. 14, 15, I should update 14. That.
Okay, gotcha. Duly noted. Well, let's jump right in. Big question number one. As AI speeds up how much information leaders are expected to process, what helps them stay clear-headed instead of overwhelmed?
I don't think AI is the problem here. And AI can certainly help. But AI is really great at spinning up more and more and more things. But the problem is people don't have good clear-headed practices even before AI. We don't have a good practices around mental hygiene, around focus. We don't meditate. We don't compartmentalize our day. We don't protect quality time. We don't protect, by and large, some of you do, right? But many of us, like, we just wake up to our email streams and look at the news and get overwhelmed. And then if you go to AI with things, it'll give you 10 more different ideas that you could pursue further. So it's really, like, really not helpful in that regard. But it starts first with thinking about, like, what leads to a more clear thinking, more powerful me? What are the practices that I need? So I started, my parents saw that they had a problem with me early on. And they took me to someone who taught me to meditate at about age 6. And I have practiced many different kinds of meditation since that early age. And I have several kinds of daily meditation. And this morning, after like getting up and all that, before I started my day, I took a little hot tub time. And I talked about my upcoming travel for the rest of the week with my wife and the holidays and things like that. This weekend, my wife and I'll do a monthly meeting where we kind of reflect on our progress on the year and the year ahead. So these are the kinds of practices that make us, I think, saner. I devour all the news and things like that, but I'm somewhat disciplined about when it happens and how much it intrudes. And so on the personal level, I'm using AI not to spin up more ideas of things that I should be doing or could be doing and making myself crazy, but I'm taking it to simplify. So I read a news story about something and I, like so often, I'm frustrated that the reporter didn't ask what seemed to be the most obvious question. So I'm like, okay, wait, what really happened with that situation overseas? How many people are like, I'll ask my questions. And then instead of looking for 10 more things and 10 more articles, I'll just have AI go find it for me and tell me what I want to know. I'll say, okay, great. I want to cook some dinner tonight. I love to cook dinner when I'm home. And I'll be like, but I don't have time to go to the store. So here's what I have. I'm thinking about something like this. Give me a recipe like that, right? So I'm using it as a personal aid to clarify the information, to focus things. I'm stuck on this priority. Give me some ways to unstick myself. So it's not just random things of making myself more crazy or more busy, but it fits in a life that's already fairly clear-headed.
Very interesting. Great answer. Sort of a follow-up on that as I was thinking. So what would be an early sign maybe that a leader might be losing clarity maybe before they even realize it? What are some things they should look for if they're taking on too much with AI, or if they are getting overwhelmed by it and maybe don't even realize it, like a lot of us probably wouldn't these days?
Well, so a lot of leaders that we work with have some ADD, ADHD habits, right? And you maybe know it already if you do, but an awful lot, especially in the entrepreneurial side. Corporate side, less so. So if you work in a big company and you're a leader in that environment versus an entrepreneurial leader, you may be a little more disciplined and focused in that regard. But if you've got any ADHD, ADD type things, then you might use AI to chase down rabbit holes and follow tangents and get squirrel ball, get yourself distracted by things. And look, there's a time and a place for that. Like, I used to, my son and I have the same habit of following, of like reading Wikipedia for hours. And so you'll like read whatever, and then you'll see something, you'll be like, oh, I want to know more about that dynasty. And then you'll click on that, and then that'll open up, and then you'll read that, and then you'll see something there. And you, but if you don't time boundary things like that, like I'm going to brainstorm a variety of things with AI, and then I'm going to chase down something. And at some point, it's like enough already. Or stop chasing the tangent, come back to what is the core reason that brought me here? Is it just curiosity? Which there should be room for. Like I'm an ideator, so I have a fair amount of like what I would call like info grazing. So there's a time and a place where I want to brainstorm and pursue ideas and explore what ifs and gather information. But then I also have to like stop it off because I could just be lost forever, right?
Big question number two, what do leadership teams need to understand about human behavior to help people adapt to AI confidently rather than fearfully?
Well, I think the way we think of AI is different. I don't think people are as much afraid of AI as they are afraid of being exposed as incompetent. And whether they think about it consciously or not, AI for the vast majority of people is new territory. And every time you turn around, it sounds like somebody else is doing it better than you are. And it's funny because my son built one of the bigger AI tools out there. He was part of the early team at Midjourney and built their image generating tool. And then he went to work for another company that builds Cursor, and now he's with Anthropic working on the Claude tool. So I have a different perspective on it. I'm less intimidated by AI in general than some because I've had this inside view of seeing like the earliest versions of things for a while now. But I think that people get worried about that somebody else knows something more. And then leaders, CEO, C-suite in particular, are thinking about AI in terms of like, how could we cut people? And people are thinking about being cut and exposed as incompetent. And people are looking at their organizations of how do I cut people and save money instead of how do I accelerate stuff? And I think the way that is useful to think about AI is more less like the internet and more like, say, the very beginnings of the personal computer world. So I don't know, not that many folks are probably listening that are as old as me and remember doing things before there was something called Windows and all that. But I think if you think about the beginning of that, it was so fundamental and its uses change and emerged over time. The beginning of it was like, let's just like do anything with it. Let's just get basic literacy and comfort with it. So I would encourage people to find ways to use AI every hour in every job. And I would encourage them not to think about how it's going to take care of me. Look, and people are like, oh, you must be worried about AI replacing coaching. I'm like, no, here, let's pick any topic, throw in some strategy question. Let's ask AI what it is. And be like, it's great. Look what it told me. I'm like, okay, great. Now click redo and have it do that one again. And notice that it gives you a brand new answer. Now, which one are you going to choose? Click redo again. I could ask any AI, right? The same question, core strategic question, and it could give me five different answers. Then I could ask it for which one to pick and it'd tell me. And if I asked AI, I'm like, hey, I have this great business idea. I'm thinking about putting like food trucks, but serving Canada's food products next to schools because I know kids love the weed. And like, and AI'll be like, that's a novel idea. Let's talk about how we can make that work. I'm sure there'll be concerns about like legality. But it's like, it can fill you with total nonsense. So I wouldn't worry about it taking your job unless you refuse to try it. And I have seen one of our former clients in the tech space, of all things, was like, nope, we're going to go contrary. We're going to be like anti-AI, no AI in our world. This is all human work, human-centric. They stubbornly sort of dug in on an ideological basis. They built their argument for it, and the company doesn't exist anymore. So if you or your company refuse to try something that's a new tool, other people will just rip past you. So, and I think you should set aside the fear and stop worrying about what everyone else does. Somebody's found a new tool and they're using it this way. Great. So go curious, go look at it, but don't beat yourself up. You don't need to do every possible thing with it, be on the bleeding edge. Just start to find ways every day. Like I told you about making a recipe up for something like, okay, I have these ingredients and you know, I need to do that. Or hey, I want to do this, or I want to plan a great day. I need to do a walking tour here. Like start finding little ways to do your job, to enhance your job, not to replace it. So I use AI to synthesize, summarize, brainstorm, do pros and cons, like all kinds of things. And I use it openly and behind the scenes with all of our coaching clients. But I don't think for one second that it replaces me anytime soon, right? There still needs to be wisdom and experience and stuff like that. And that's really what people are paying me for and what's valuable in your job. There are things that you do that are brilliant, right? That it isn't going to get replaced. And somebody's not going to come do, well, they could. And they will do like an AI interview on a podcast, right? And it'll be trash. It'll be like filler crap nonsense. So there's something still for a while anyway, magical about human beings. And maybe for a long time. And I think that we're seeing that, like somebody said like 10 years ago, you should just stop studying radiology because AI is going to just replace all the need for radiologists. All the things are going to go away. And so AI will just interpret all your imaging and that kind of thing in that world. It turned out to be nonsense. There's now more need for more radiologists because what happened is AI sped the use of and cheapened the access to radiology imaging. And so now hospitals are using it more, like way more. And the volume of that needed more radiologists. So today there's actually more people doing it, didn't replace people. So stop worrying about replacing, stop trying to replace people, start thinking about getting stronger, getting better, faster at what you do best using AI.
Fantastic. Thank you. Big question number three, and this kind of, I think, gives you an opportunity to sort of put a bow on this. You touched on it a little with the first question, but just to kind of circle back. So if leaders, and you know, let's think about in the talent development, human resources, coaching sphere, if leaders want AI to actually reduce stress and not add to it, what are the habits and practices that would make the biggest difference for them right now?
So if AI is adding to your stress and you want to reduce stress, I think, look, I just finished writing a book that the working title anyway is Busy is Broken. And I think that I'm a busy person. I work with busy people. Busyness gets us to a place, but it's not everything. Like the next problem you have isn't going to be solved by being busier. So busy, yes, you and I are busy people. We fill our lives with stuff. But then there's a point at which trying to do more leads to more stress, more upset. So after sort of a basic level of doing what we want and working our best and being full as human beings and used up, then we want to think about simplifying. So I want to use AI to solve problems, to unstick things, to focus me, to remind me to follow up, not to chase more possible things I could do. And it's about focus. It's about accelerating, simplifying, that kind of thing, and not about chasing infinite possibilities. Because truly, AI can give you infinite possibilities. If you ask it for two options, it'll give you two options. But if you ask it for options, it could give you options forever till the end of time.
Mm-hmm. Redo, redo, redo. All right. Well, Bill, thanks so much for your insight and the clarity you bring to this very fast-moving conversation we're all in the middle of. Any other parting words of wisdom for our audience?
Personally, it's just exciting. I keep looking at and discovering new ways every day to use things. And my lens for myself, my clients, my companies is like every department, every person, every way, how could we use AI like every hour? And I don't need to necessarily build it or program it or do whatever. Like simple things like an LLM, just a simple ChatGPT-like thing or a Claude-like conversation. But then finding new ways like, oh, I could upload a thing and it could read my handwriting. I could take a transcript and I could summarize. I could like all the little ways that you could do it. We have somebody doing estimates. We have people writing proposals now. And they're like, hey, why don't you just give it a great example and ask it to give you, your first draft? Hey, instead of visiting that client, why don't you just feed the address in and ask it to tell you how much driveway space there is there. And I bet you might be able to do that, right? And start playing with it in ways to do things, right? Play with it more. It's a new tool. Play with it.
Great. Well, thank you. And so for everyone listening or watching, stay curious and keep asking the big questions that move you and your teams forward. We'll be right there with you at Talent in the Age of AI.
Thanks for listening to Talent in the Age of AI. If this conversation gave you new ways to grow in your own work and to better support your people, follow the show and share it with others in your HR and talent network. Members get even more. full episode transcripts, extended show notes, and companion resources to help you put these insights into action. Learn more and join us at talentintheageofai.com. We're here to help leaders create, curate, and connect what's needed to build tomorrow's workforce today. See you next time.